Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now, and more than 60 others, can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now, you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Where the Stars Fell, The Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program, and Civilized. Plus, early access to new episodes of Midnight Burger, all still entirely ad-free. The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dum Dums and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts: Dum Dums and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, Warhammer 40,000, The Valentine Heresy, and Curse Code and Crown, as well as 3 event podcasts with miniseries releases scheduled at random intervals: Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please join the Dum Dums and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumdumdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dum Dums and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dum Dums and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, initiates, to the Mythos Mysteries, a live play Pulp Cthulhu podcast where improvisers and comedians venture into dangers beyond their wildest imaginings. I am H.P. Helmfirth, your host on this journey into darkness. The Mystery Punchers are on their way to a motel identified by the severed hand of Benny Jones as the place to avenge Adrian Diesel. Richter was forced to take the wheel when mobsters attacked their car. Red eliminated their attackers with explosive bullets, and young Caddy was horrified to discover that Tracy is a murderer. So venture forth with us, dear friends, into the mythos.
The Mystery Punchers are about a bad bit of business, on their way to confront the murderer of Adrian Diesel, bringing with them young Caddy Sprinkles, who is very confused about what has happened to his friend, is both excited and likely a bit spooked at what has happened to his other friends. But the most blatant one, I mean, Benny seems on the level. He's just giving out helpful hints. Things are not how you left them. And the people you thought you were protecting that day in the church, caddy, have grown to be something quite different altogether. Red, it is, you've carried guilt with you for a long time. Now guilt wears the face of a cat and is constantly reminding you of the twists and turns your life have taken. While you aren't ashamed of who you are or what you do, there is something just fucking sharp about someone pointing out in stark contrast who you were frozen in time 16 years ago and doing like a checklist to see what is true and what is not. Mm-hmm. Puts everything in rather stark contrast. And of course, old man Richter, a demon is in your car. It has attacked Red once and will likely not stop until it has satiated whatever dark hunger it has. Yep. Some people would argue this is true of all cats. but in this case in particular, you feel like there might be something more, a foot or a paw, if you will. So,
and I won't.
Okay, good. So just a foot. Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. Well, I'm glad we had this conversation. That's the episode. Go fuck yourselves.
Well, I'm just saying.
You know, it's true. I gave you the option.
I won't. Yeah.
Yeah. Shan't. So the three of you are in a tense situation. Your car is slowly dying. It's doing that thing that cars in movies do where, like, it, you know, there's like sputtering coming out from under the hood, dark smoke billowing out of the many dents. A series of postcards and love letters, as well as like bill payments and other such things, just shredded, sort of blowing around the cab of the car. And in the distance on the horizon, you can see a massive sign for the Bonnie Parker Motel. You'll never guess who the proprietor is.
Stephen
King.
Crowiptoan is the proprietor.
Welcome. Oh, you caught me. Shit. Roll furniture if I guess we're doing this.
So you have a few moments as you approach the Parker Motel. Is there any prep you want to do? Would you come up with a plan? Or is the group so fractured at this point that you just kind of got to, not fractured, but tense, that you just kind of got to do what you do?
Tom, from Benny's blood note on the floor, was there like a room number or did it just give the address of the motel?
Just gave the address. It was a tremendous amount of work for him to write that and the clue that would... it's also important to remember that Benny has so little context for most of what's going on in the world that he's kind of like, I can give you this much.
Yeah, and he got tackled in the middle. So he had a journey.
Yeah, yeah. This is a, like a 1930s motel. So it's, we're going to say this one's two stories, but it really is just kind of vaguely Bates Motel-y in as much as it's a really just kind of an uninspired, actually, I feel like it's got to be single level. I don't think they had double level in the 30s. So single level motel, just like it's got walls and a roof. That's kind of what you get, sort of deal. Yes, from here, it's sort of a flat straightaway to the motel. Even from here, you can see there are very few cars parked there. It would seem that the mobsters who slammed into you were the fastest of the bunch, if indeed an SOS went out. But it looks like you have the advantage since you murdered the shit out of them last episode.
Great.
And Ryan, sorry, Claire, to your question, I would say there are probably, we'll say, 8 rooms in a row. And then like a little office where King apparently works.
I think Caddy wouldn't be talking. He'd be listening, but he'd be eyeing the rooms trying to figure out if he could tell which one might have the guy in it. Odds are they wouldn't have a car if he teleported. So he's probably looking at rooms without cars.
Okay, so from this distance, with your what do your cat eyes see? can you roll me a spot hidden, please, sir?
Yes, I can. That is an... Ooh, I'm going to spend 2 luck to make it an extreme success.
Ooh. Man, this whole string of episodes has just been like a 90s Dorito ad. It's been so extreme constantly. Cool, man. You can see, yes, there's, we'll say 2 cars parked outside rooms 2 and 6. As well as sort of an old pickup truck that is parked near the office. In terms of at this distance, I would say for those of us without the keen senses of an animal, still difficult to see. But Caddy, you're able to pick up that there is a rather obvious blood smear on the door of room 3. You also notice that the car outside of 2 seems dented, which in and of itself isn't that strange, except that it's the roof that is dented.
Hmm. Okay, I think then as soon as Caddy can run faster than the car, and he's like a fast cat, he's just blitzing out of the open windshield.
All right. Caddy away! Red, you watch Caddy leap onto the dashboard and sort of like spring off the moving vehicle. Richter, is the saboteur getting away?
I think getting him away from Red is actually good because, you know, if Richter deals with this creature, there's a good chance Red will just murder him. And he's completely acutely aware that Red could just kill the shit out of him. And so he needs to figure out kind of the social dynamic going on right now. Like, right. Clearly Red has an attachment to this creature. It has enchanted her, enthralled her, or just straight up like lied to her well enough that she is buying in to what is obviously to Richter some kind of ruse, some mm-hmm. kind of trick.
And for a man who's been so impressed by Red's tricks and deceptions to this point,
yeah,
to see her taken in by someone else's ruse is quite something.
Begrudgingly got to give credit where it's due, you know?
Yeah.
I hate you, small cat, but God damn it, do I respect you.
So, Tyler, do you think you would actively do anything to try and persuade her, possibly with the skill persuade? Or is this still an observation piece? Where do you think you're coming at this problem from?
I think, Claire, if your kind of look that you just gave at Caddy running off was any indication, I would maybe take the opportunity to kind of like talk you down from being concerned for the cat, and say, Red, it is all right. Let him go. He appears as a cat to anyone who's not looking closely. He will be much, much safer than you or I.
Richter, I'm not concerned for his safety. I am concerned about the fact that he is probably going to go warn that man in that room that we are coming. So if you don't mind...
Why would he help him?
Because he's 12 years old, Richter.
I will run him over. We'll silence him forever.
And she just fixes you with a look and says, I was going to apologize for putting my fingers around your neck. But I will do it again if you suggest that one more time.
All right, I can tell we are not ready to cross that bridge yet. I will leave it be for now, but do pay attention. All right, it has been once already that this creature has foiled your attempts.
to protect us and to survive. First this the shooting in the car chase, and now he's running off to warn this man. I will say nothing more, but I see a completely different side of this creature than you do.
It's a cat, Richter. It's just a cat. With Adrian Diesel's... You know what? Let's just go.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a cat, and then there's a little asterisk, isn't there? Yeah, yeah.
So with sort of that gray sky of low-lying cloud that you can only ever really get kind of... like you see it on the East Coast, you see it on the West Coast, coasts, just kind of rolling in. Red, you floor it, gripping the wheel, and the car continues to not move as fast as that. Like, it's like the lean in grip, like stomp, and the car's just like, car Twitter would know how to fix it, but they ain't here. So. You two are just
for us.
No, I mean they did actually, but that's a story for another day. Yeah, you're just putting towards the motel as the speedy cat takes off. Catty, you are on paw, booking it towards the motel. What's going on in your head? What's your plan?
Well, I think there's a moment of excitement because Addy's never been this fast or mm-hmm. this low. So this is like riding in a very fast go-kart, and he appreciates that greatly.
Mm.
His plan is he's got to warn this guy because Red is a murderer, but Tracy was a good person. So he can't just call the police or Tracy will go to jail forever, and he can't turn Red back into Tracy, where that's who Tracy would want. So he's got to tell this guy to run away. So that she can't murder him and then get in more trouble. So he's got to warn this guy. So his plan is to just run up to that like blood smeared door 3 and jump and try to pick the lock with his finger claw to go in and warn the guy.
Okay. I need a spot hidden, please. And then you can go ahead with your lock pick.
That is a success.
As you're running, you're again just I think enjoying the sensations and also just like the heightened senses and everything else. For a split second, you actually see someone leave room 6 and start walking towards their car. It's a figure, like a family. It's like two sort of like a man and a woman and a couple of kids. All of them are wearing long brown coats. So sort of that classic like raincoat, trench coat piece. She's got a phenomenally large floppy hat on, which is a detail I think that would completely elude Caddy. The guy looks like a detective though, because he's got a fedora. So that's kind of cool. But the guy kids with him. So that kind of ruins the potential for any spy hijinks. But as you see them kind of making their way to their car, they don't seem to be related to what you're doing right now. So like, it's not a huge, huge deal. As you're running past the car on your way to the lock though, out of the corner of your eye, you see hooves. But before your brain can register really what that means, you were like mid spring. So it's just full cat flying through the air as this family kind of piles into their car. You land on the door by the lock. However, you have just seen this. Do you want to pick the lock and try and warn Donnie Splinter what's coming? Or do you want to try and observe this family as they leave?
I think he's a little kid, so he's not that smart. So I think he'd probably try to do both, but just means he's doing both poorly.
Okay, so give me another spot hidden, please, and a lock pick. However, I'm going to give you disadvantage on both. So roll the 10 twice and pick the worst on both.
I have advantage on spot hidden naturally because I'm keen. So that means so just a straight.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, so for the spot hidden, that is a fail by very little, but I will allow it. I need that last 7 luck. And then the other was disadvantage for lock pick, which is also a fail. So I'm just a cat hanging off a door, looking backwards, not seeing anything, and failing to pick a lock.
You see them pile into the car, and you hear one of them say, "Hey, Mom, look at the cat."
And she just says, not now, Thatcher. Get in the car. We've got to go see your cousins. And with the slam of the doors, the car ignites and the headlights just hit you, blinding you for a moment. And the car pulls out and drives away.
Now they were just people. Stupid, focus on the door.
As you are distracted, though, another car pulls in very slowly. As Red and Richter, as you begin to pull up, a sort of like a slight man with sort of a small nose, large glasses, and just kind of a mop of hair with a cane kind of opens the door from the office. And it just says, hello there, officers. What seems to be the trouble?
Oh, sorry. I think I was right.
He starts walking towards the police car.
Right. She will just open the door and just say, there's no trouble, sir. But I promise there will be if you don't let us pass.
Yikes. Can you roll an intimidate, please?
Yes, I can. Oh, no, I can't. Jeez.
I remember, Adrian was the threatening one. You were the charming one.
Yeah. Oh,
I will remember you.
Yeah, really. Okay, Kat, can you?
What? When I see you again.
Yeah, it's been a long
time. Oscar.
No, that's a fail.
Ironically, for those of you listening at home, Claire's cat Gandalf literally just walked in front and ruined the role, which is so pitch perfect for this scenario. Like, chef's kiss. Okay, so. His eyes narrow and he says, he just kind of like opens his jacket, to reveal, a shotgun that, his hand was resting on. Everyone looks at the cane. They never expect the shotgun. And he just kind of like lifts it very casually, but, just kind of one of those little double barreled, one handed jobs, from the cover of Red Dead Redemption. And he just, says, listen, I asked you something politely, and around these parts, generally speaking, I try and respond politely. Now, there could be trouble. You're absolutely right. It's been a while since I've seen a cop from Helmfirth around here, but I'm pretty sure they don't dress like either of y'all. So I think I'm going to need some answers, or I'm going to need you to just move right along. We don't need any more trouble than we've already seen here today. And then he just clicks the hammer suggestively.
Well, sir, I'm from Boston. And frankly, there's a lot more trouble there than Helmfirth could ever show you. So I'm going to take this man, and she gestures toward Richter in the car.
He's in the back seat. He's in a bathrobe. His nose is bleeding. His hair is disheveled. And he says, don't trust the cat.
All right. I rolled a 98. So I rolled a fumble. Fantastic. So Stephen King looks from Red to Richter, and his shoulders slump a bit, and he's like, you know, I moved away from Derry to avoid shit like this. All right. Look, whatever you're about, just try and keep it clean. I've already had to clean up some. Well, you know what? Looking at the state of your car, I think I'm asking too much. Might be time for me to hit the road. Might be time for me to move to Maine and one day maybe have a grandson who could be named after me. Stephen with a V King, an original character. Well, goodbye. And he just like goes back inside the office, closes the door, and just flips the sign to closed. And you can hear the clacking of a typewriter.
Great. And she's going to, you know, take her hand off the pistol that she was about to try to whip him in the head with. And just kind of, I think her gaze will go to the cat clinging on to door number 3.
Hang in there, Addie.
Yeah. And just kind of be like, all right, let's get this shit done. And without waiting to see if Richter's following, she's just going for the door.
All right. Oh, I think at that point, Caddy's just fucking screaming then. He's just like, they're going to kill you, mister. You need to run. Ren's here with Richter. They're going to kill you. The murderers are coming. Run.
Then she's going to run to the door.
Well, I mean, look, as much as I enjoy all of you narrating the story for me, it will not surprise you that the villainous mobster responds to that. As you you start to run towards the door blows outward as a shotgun blast tears through it from the other side.
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Greetings, I'm Bernard.
And I'm Magenta. You might know us from such hit podcasts as Madame Magenta, Sonus Mystica.
Horror Anthology Magenta Presents.
Or Season 3 of Mockery Manor.
We're everywhere.
And we're spreading faster than an STD in an old folks' home, because now we have a brand new podcast. Wham!
Wham! It's a fun acronym that stands for We Have a Movie.
Oh, it's not just an acronym, Bernard.
It's not?
It's a chat podcast where we invent smash hit Hollywood movies based on popular toys.
If you like the Barbie movie and you want to see similar treatments of your favorite childhood toys, I'll wager you'll like Wham! With episodes on Polly Pocket, Rubik's Cube, Game Boy, Strawberry Shortcake,
Furby, Connect Four, and lots of other nostalgia bait. But it's not just for adults who still like toys. It's a podcast for anyone who loves Hollywood tropes and comedy.
And quantum mechanics.
And BDSM.
Wham! Has something for everyone, but is still specifically about movies.
That's Wham! W-H-A-M. You know, like when Batman punches someone.
Yes.
Adam West. That Batman.
Exactly.
Not the Christopher Nolan one.
No.
Download it anywhere you listen to podcasts. That's what the world needs, another movie podcast.
Was that clear? Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned quantum mechanics.
Hmm.
Dum-dums and Dice would like to welcome you to Curse, Code, and Crown, a live play Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition podcast featuring a fully original world and campaign. Curse, Code, and Crown features our regular voiceover artists and improvisers, Laura Elizabeth as Princess Gwendolyn, Tyler Hewitt as Maka Deathcap, and Ryan LaPlante as Duncan Kindano, alongside our Dungeon Master, the incredible Tom McGee. So get ready for an adventure including thrills, chills, and hope for a brighter tomorrow. It's time for Curse, Code, and Crown! Episodes are available now.
I need a dodge from you, Caddy, because... You know what they say about no good deed unpunished?
Success.
Again, Michael Bay Transformers. You're just twisting as like shards of wood. Megan Fox is there, and like the camera is just being real pervy around her. Whoever's replacing Shia LaBeouf in the next one is there too. Why not? So the door blows outward. You just hear, as Red runs, like the door blows out, you manage to land, like your back probably arches or whatever, and you hiss. Like, I don't know how cat-like Caddy is yet, but you have a quick reaction. And then just fucking around the corner comes Red with pistols. And from the blood-soaked bed in the motel room, Donnie Splinter just sighs and coughs out blood. He looks fucking rough. He just wheezes out blood and says, "Oh fuck, that was meant for you. Oh shit." And his other arm seems limp and unusable. It's got shells in it, but he's kind of trembling, and he just mutters like, "Should have got those goat bastards to give me more goddamn ammo." Red, he looks, like the result of a Japanese horror movie got to him. His skin is pallid. He has you know, his eyes are rimmed in black. He has deep, trenches clawed into his face. And perhaps most notably, he's gasping for breath, and his throat is purple red and dark. He's got blood all the way down the front of his shirt. This is far more than the stabbing you gave him,
mm-hmm.
by quite a bit. He kind of like fumbles the bullets as you come in and is clearly kind of pooched.
Mm-hmm. Great. So she's going to kick the bullets out of his hand.
Fuck.
And she's going to grab him by his obviously very bruised throat.
He like wheezes in agony. Great. You get the sense that his windpipe might be pretty well done.
Great. And she'll just say, you don't deserve a quick death and you don't deserve a painless one. But if you tell me who did this to you and what the hell is going on and who you serve and why, perhaps it won't be an agonizing one, you son of a bitch.
That's right, because we'll call the hospital to come get you. And he'd like to look for a phone.
There is one. It's off the receiver. It is soaked in blood. And on the other end, you can hear someone be like, hey, boss, you okay? The fellas should be there by now, boss. Don't shoot him. Don't shoot him.
Like, oh, no, the helper's exploded. Send an ambulance. Send an ambulance. He's very hurt.
The phone explodes. Richter, you arrive in the door to see this gruesome sight. Red kind of Darth Vadering Donnie Splinter off the ground. Caddy just kind of like crouched, looking guilty in a way only a cat can, near the exploded phone. Do you do anything, or are you going to let this play out?
I'll go be lookout. Yeah, this is right. This is kind of nothing for me right now.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay. So he just kind of grins to reveal broken teeth, and he just says, "Anything you could do to me would be a fucking gift compared to what they did to me. Do you know what that knife you stuck me with does?"
In fact, I don't. Why don't you enlighten me?
And there's just that look of like everything he says is costing him so much. He's like, okay. Look, those weirdos in New York, the Gotham Crown, they set it up as a quick way to get to where you need to go, you know? But there were pages. You'd fall through pages. It's a weird fucking thing. I never liked it. When you stabbed me, I was on my way back to their office. But there was something in those pages. It fucking grabbed me, and it did this to me. And he just kept screaming, no, not Addy, no. But then something came up behind him, something big and scary, before he could finish the job. And he threw me as hard as he could through the fucking pages. I didn't fall down. I fell sideways. And then I fell out of the fucking sky onto this fucking car. Now, luckily, I met some weird goat bastards who traded me a shotgun. I don't know what the fuck is going on with the goat people, but it's all that shit that the Gotham Crown assholes brought down on this town. I just wanted to be a fucking mobster. You get that, right?
Every word you say just puts a knife through my heart.
Yeah, well, don't fall through a weird tunnel of pages, kid. It's a bad
thing. I've already done it. And I'm still standing.
A murderer and a liar, huh? Fucking figures. Listen, wow, lady, we don't need to drag this out. I told you what you need to know. Also, what's up with your cat? I don't fucking care. Just get this over with, will you?
Red, you can't kill him. You're just like him. You've done the same things. You're just on different sides. You're so similar. Killing him is like he'd be right to kill you too. You got to be the better person. Like you told me as a kid, you have to grow up to be a hero.
I've grown up, Adrian. And you don't understand it, but this is for you.
No, it literally isn't.
And she's going to shoot him in the head.
Oh, fuck you, lady.
Blow out the back of his head. And let the body drop. Adrian, you're Caddy, rather, you're splattered with blood as this guy hits the ground. In the office, the blinds come down. In addition to the closed sign, and. Red, you look down at the killer of Adrian Diesel, and you have brought him vengeance, but perhaps in doing so have either helped prove a truth to young Caddy or broken something. You may have avenged one Addy, but lost another. Richter, you flinch slightly as the gunshot goes off. I feel like that's still not a sound that you're used to or accustomed to.
Yep.
Also, cold-blooded vengeance. Again, you've kind of removed yourself from it, but it is an odd thing. You are sort of staring off into the distance, trying not to pay attention to what's going on. When a massive pulse of red light erupts from Helmfirth in the distance, striking the sky briefly, and the clouds begin to turn red, slowly spreading like blood seeping through a white tablecloth. And you feel something hit your forehead as a light rain begins. Absentmindedly, you wipe it away, to find your hand smeared with blood. And sure enough, yeah. the rain goes from spitting to become a steady rain, not quite a torrential downpour, as black lightning begins to arc across the sky. If you squint, you think you can see an eye. The gate is open, and hell is here. Welcome to the finale of the Mythos Mysteries.
This episode of the Mythos Mysteries features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at the Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Claire Blackwood at Claire Blackwood on Twitter, and Keeper Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode's sound was edited and mixed by Laura Hamstra. And the Mythos Mysteries show logo was created by Decapitated Marker at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme songs are Dark Alleys and Sentinel by Kai Engel. And our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, JAHZZAR. And all of their music is available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are dumdumdice. And on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. We have merchandise available at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. And most importantly, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. All hail the mythos.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long, the Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, Charles Grams, Christopher Little, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lorda Bradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Chet Awesome Laser, Jordan Neesmith, Benjamin V, Gavin and Abby McDonald, Taryn Hefner, Cade Peters, Richard Cranium, Christian Mendez, Anna Zed, Fire Unfriendly, Logan, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Are you two still awake?
Dad, we're too excited!
You'll be tired at Mockery Manor tomorrow, and it's bigger than ever, so you really do need to sleep.
Daddy, tell us about the new expansion!
Okay, okay.
Yay!
Once upon a time, there was a wonderful place, Mockery Manor. Everyone loved it, but sometimes it felt lonely. The manor longed for a companion, so they built a whole new park right next door and called it Claytonville. And it was the
rootinest, tootinest place you ever did see.
Yee-haw!
Hop on board the brand new Mockery Railroad all the way to Claytonville.
Toot toot!
In Claytonville, there are 4 cowboy lands to explore. Lasso a goat in Farmin Valley. Kiss your girl's best friend in Lovelorn Town.
Stop it, Terry.
And in Cowboy Christmas Town, hop on down to the Bluegrass Grotto to meet Cowboy Santa.
Ho, ho, ho down!
And are you brave enough to ride the wildest ride in Claytonville? Look out, it's the Four Spurs Pine Train!
Are you sleepy now, kids?
Yes, Daddy. I can't wait to go to Mockery Manor and Claytonville.
2 parks in one and only $19.99 for a family of 4.
And how about you? Yeah, that's right. You, listening to this. Are you ready to come back to Mockery Manor? Season 3, available now.